So I type a name into the browser, hit return, the browser goes to that name, and the page arrives. That's the shape of it, roughly.
The shape you just drew has no wires in it.
Right, but the wire is the internet. It goes over the internet.
The internet is a lot of separate networks that have agreed to forward each other's packets. Nothing in any of those networks knows the name you typed. The name doesn't reach any cable.
So the browser has to look it up first.
It has to look it up. And before it puts anything on a wire, it checks a stack of caches. Its own memory. The operating system's memory. Maybe the router in your flat. If any of those still remembers the name, nothing goes out at all.
And most of the time, one of them does remember.
Most of the time, for a name you've visited before, yes. That's a genuine shortcut, and it's most of why the second visit to a site feels faster than the first.
Okay, and if nothing remembers?
Then the machine sends one small question, over UDP, to whatever resolver it's been told to use. That resolver is the one that actually does the work of turning a name into an address.
An address being what? Four numbers with dots between them.
Four numbers if it's the old kind, eight groups of hex if it's the new kind. Same idea. A number that, unlike a name, actually means something to a router.
And the resolver just knows.
If someone asked it the same name in the last few minutes, yes. Otherwise, it walks a small tree. It asks a root server which servers know about anything ending in .com. The root points it at the .com servers. Those pointed at whoever the owners of your particular name nominated. And that last one, the authoritative server for your name, hands the address back.
Three questions to answer one question.
Three the first time. After that, every step along the way keeps a copy for as long as the owner said it could. Most of the time, the first two are already cached, and only the last one goes.
Okay, so now the browser has the address.
Now the browser has the address.
And it sends the request straight there.
It sends a packet aimed there. The address is not a path. Your machine has no idea how to actually get there.
But it's on the internet. The internet knows.
Nothing on the internet knows the whole path. The packet goes to whichever router your machine has been told is the way out, the box in your flat, or the gateway at your office. That router looks at the destination address, checks a table, decides which of its neighbors to hand it to. That neighbor does the same thing.
Every one of them looks at the full address.
Every one of them looks at the destination and picks the next hop. They don't know the hop after that. They only know their own neighbors and roughly which direction each neighbor is good for reaching things.
How do they know that?
They tell each other. The internet is divided into thousands of separate networks. A university, a phone company, a data center operator. And each of those is one big system that announces to its neighbors which addresses it can reach. That gossip is what lets a router in Frankfurt know that a packet for an address in Sydney should go this way, not that way.
So the rough path was worked out before my packet showed up.
The rough path was worked out. The exact routers your packet visits is decided one hop at a time, but the direction was decided by the gossip long before you hit return.
And how many hops does a real packet actually make?
For a website on the other side of the world, roughly a couple of dozen. Each one takes the packet in, decides where to send it, and puts it back on a wire.
And every hop is a router.
Every hop is a router, or something acting like one. There are usually three or four hops before your packet even leaves your own building.
Okay, so the packet, what is it actually? What's inside?
This is where you have to think in layers. Your request starts as a sentence. Get / something over HTTP, that's what the application wants to say.
That's the payload.
That's the payload, but you don't put a sentence on a wire, so the operating system wraps it. First, because it's almost certainly encrypted, the sentence goes inside a TLS envelope. Nothing outside that envelope can read what's inside.
One wrapper.
Then TCP wraps that in a second envelope, which has the sender's port and the receiver's port and a sequence number. so the two ends can put the pieces back in order.
Two wrappers.
Then IP wraps that, which is the envelope with the actual addresses on it, where the packet came from, where it's going. That's the layer every router looks at.
Three wrappers.
And then, right before the packet leaves your machine, an Ethernet or wireless wrapper goes around the whole lot. That layer has the address of the next hop only, not the destination, just the box your machine is directly talking to.
So the outer wrapper is only the next hop.
The outer wrapper is only the next hop.
And then it gets thrown away.
The next router strips the outer wrapper, looks at the IP layer, decides where to send the packet next, and wraps it in a fresh outer layer with the address of the hop after that. The IP layer survives untouched. The outer one is written new at every hop.
That sounds slow.
It happens in microseconds. Routers exist to do exactly that and almost nothing else, so they are extraordinarily good at it. But you're right that it's not free.
Okay, so the packet hops along, the inner layers stay wrapped, the outer layer gets rewritten, and nothing waits anywhere.
A lot of things wait. Every wire has a fixed rate. If packets arrive at a router faster than they can leave, they sit in a queue.
Where exactly?
In the router's memory, for the specific outgoing link they need. Each link has its own queue. When traffic is light, the queue is nearly empty and packets go straight through. When it's busy, they wait their turn.
What happens if the queue fills up?
New arrivals are dropped, simply discarded.
That sounds catastrophic.
It sounds catastrophic. What actually happens is the sender's TCP notices the drop and slows down, and everything settles.
So dropping packets is how the internet stays balanced.
Correct. Every sender independently slows down when it sees loss, and that's what stops the whole thing from melting when it's busy. The queue filling and dropping is the feedback signal.
There are queues at the ends as well, presumably.
There are queues at both ends. Your own machine has a queue on the way out, at the network card. The server on the far side has queues on the way in, one just for connections that are half open, one for connections waiting to be picked up by the program that will handle them.
Half open being what?
Because starting a connection isn't instant either. Before your first byte of actual request goes anywhere, the two ends have to introduce themselves. Your machine sends a hello, I want to talk. The server replies, hello, I heard you. Your machine says, great, so do I. Three messages. That's the TCP handshake.
One round trip's worth.
One and a half, technically. And then, if it's encrypted, TLS does its own handshake on top, agree on which cipher, exchange keys, prove the server is who it claims to be with a certificate. Another round trip or two.
So before I've asked for anything, I've spent two or three round trips.
Two or three. And every round trip is a full journey to the far side and back. If the server is in Sydney and you're in London, that's about a fifth of a second each time.
Which is why everything now is trying to skip those.
Which is why, but we still haven't sent the request.
Right, so then the request goes.
Then the request goes. /something. In its TLS envelope, in its TCP envelope, in its IP envelope, in a fresh outer wrapper for the first hop, and off it goes.
And then the response takes the same trip back.
The response goes through routers and through queues and back to your machine, but it doesn't have to take the same path.
Same two ends, though.
Same two ends. But each router picks its next hop independently, and the gossip in the two directions doesn't have to agree. It often does. It doesn't have to.
So the response might arrive by a different route than the request went out.
Might. Usually the differences are small, but the two paths are not the same object.
Okay, and then the page arrives.
The first thing arrives, which for a real website is the HTML document. That document then names, usually, dozens of other things the browser needs. Style sheets, scripts, images, fonts. Every one of those may be another name to look up, another address, another handshake, unless the browser can reuse a connection it already has open.
So getting one page is really getting 100 things.
For a modern site, 100 is on the low side. And that's the part you actually watch as loading, not the DNS, not the handshake, not even the first response. All of that finished before you took your finger off the key. The bit that says loading is everything queued up behind that first response.
Right.
If you want the picture, it's this. The name in your browser gets turned into an address by asking a chain of servers, most of which have the answer cached. The address becomes a path one hop at a time, decided by routers that only know their neighbors. Every packet is wrapped four times: application, transport, network, link. The inner three survive the trip. The outer one is rewritten at every hop. Things queue wherever a fast source meets a slow link, and when the queues fill, packets drop, and everyone slows down until they don't. The response takes a similar path back, and behind it comes a long tail of smaller requests for everything else the page mentions.
And when it works, it feels like typing the name and getting the page.
When it works, it feels like typing the name and getting the page.